following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
Yeah. couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Another way when the walls are closing in. The space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, set free, there is a cross that bears those burdens, where another died for me. There was another in the fire. Well, all my dead left for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Well, either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, with power set free, there is a grave that holds nobody. And now that power lives in me. There was another in the fire. Space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. Well, I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in those waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how you've been to me, I count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. Eyes in my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Well, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you. Well, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Well, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Well, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, 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 I want to see you.
First Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says, "For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, open our eyes to your character, to your hope, to the great gift of salvation through Jesus, we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. Wish me happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. All right. I turned 78 this morning. And yay. And the pacemaker is still working. Right? Okay. Now, I've got a couple of fish stories, only they're not. Stories, that means you stretch the truth a little bit. Okay, I'm going to stretch the truth a little bit. Okay, this morning is the induction into the Hall of Fame ceremony at the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And they called me this week and said, "You've been a Dodger fan a long time. You want to come to the ceremony on Sunday morning, and we'll recognize you as being a long-term Dodger fan for the Hall of Fame." And I said, "Oh, you know, I'm busy that morning. I need to do communion meditation at my church." "Oh, okay. That's fine." And then later in the week, the guys over in Britain, they're having the U.S. Open golf tournament. And they called me then and they said, "We want you to come. We know you're..." In my past life, I was a golfer. I even got a birdie one time. Okay, and an eagle, believe it or not. And they wanted me to come to the the British Open today, the Open, and represent our country there and as a golfer and that kind of stuff. But I told them, "No thanks. I'm doing communion at my church Sunday morning, so I won't be able to be there. Okay? So, is that enough? Okay, those are fish stories, right? That didn't really happen, but I am quite a sports fan and have been in the past, and I'm so thankful that my son-in-law is a great Braves fan. He's kind of a balance to me being a Dodger fan, you know, so that helps a little bit. Okay, this morning, as we share and talk about communion, what I'd like to have you think about this morning is that full surrender that God asks us to make as we become His children, okay? He not only wants to save us from our sins and forgive us our sins, He actually wants us to say, "Yes, Jesus, I give you all my life, all my being, everything that I am." And He wants us to do that in form of a full surrender. Okay, I'm going to pull a scripture up here. And I've got Romans 12:1, one of the most familiar scriptures to all of us, but it's one of my favorites. And if you want to find a great scripture to use for communion meditation, this is one, okay? "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what is and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So when God calls you to be His disciple, calls you to be His child, and says to you, "I want to forgive your sins. Are you willing? I already paid the price on the cross. I already gave my life. I gave my blood. I gave my body so that you might be saved and forgiven of sins. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to say, 'Yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be forgiven of my sins. Yes, I want to surrender my life to you'? When you think about surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think about surrendering everything that you are, all that you say, all that you think, and all that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ? Full surrender really means just that. Full surrender. Okay? So, sure, you have received Jesus into your life. You're here this morning. You said, "Jesus, I want to follow you." Are you continuing to make that full surrender every day, every hour, every minute to the Lord Jesus Christ as He calls you to? He needs us, He wants us, and He loves us. How much are you willing to go out of your way to be His every day, all the time, every moment? Jesus loves us, and He cares about us, and He wants us to make that full surrender every moment of the day. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for communion. We thank you, Lord, that you've given your life for us, your body and your blood. And we take these elements as a symbol of what you have already done for us. Bless us, Lord, as we do this morning. Help our pastor as he preaches and as he shares. We ask that, Lord, you would guide his message this morning. And, Lord, fill him with your Spirit as he speaks. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Spirit as we surrender to you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day
Skylight is a group of educators that help young people embrace God-centered habits using technology. And they've been around for about 6 or 8 years, and they've been doing surveys. And they did a survey in April of 2023, just last year. They surveyed 5,000 Americans of all ages. 85% of the respondents said they use some kind of a spiritual practice every week. Now, 61% of them use prayer. Another 29% use meditation and other ways. But I did think it was really interesting that the highest response to this question was from millennials, Gen Z and millennials, and younger ones were responding to this question. Yes, we do believe in prayer. We do utilize prayer. So they did follow-up questions with them and said, well, what do you pray for? Well, if you're in the habit of prayer, what do you pray for? 76% said they pray for loved ones in crisis, health or financial or different things, or and sometimes it's health issues. 56% prayed for themselves. 33% prayed for good results on an exam or an interview or something that they were facing, good results on a challenge ahead. 21% prayed for their team to win a game. That was not Cowboys fans. We gave that up a long time ago. We just suffer through it, all right? We just ready to be disappointed again. But there were some follow-up questions. 78% of these people responded that said they felt like when they're praying, it lowers their anxiety and makes them a better version of themselves. And 88% believed that they had actually seen a prayer answered. And that gave me a lot of hope. The one I think that shocked me the most, and saddened me that said the average amount of time a person prays, 2.2 minutes a day. I don't know about that. That worries me. If that's really true, what does our prayer life look like? We're in this summer series called Authentic. We're looking for believers that are real, and they're walking the walk and talking the talk and really acting it out. We've talked a lot about hypocrisy the last few weeks. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles with you today, want you to bring your Bibles. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. We're going to be in a very familiar passage. It's Sermon on the Mount, very, very basic. But I want us to realize that prayer is a factor in our authenticity. In fact, it's a very important one. Now, everybody knows you're supposed to pray. That's preaching 101, all right? I'm not here to do that. I want us to look at how we pray. A lot of us pray at mealtimes, at bedtime, pray for the sick. But is that what authentic prayer really should be? Join me in Matthew chapter 6 as we start reading in verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now go back and look at this. I think it's really interesting that Jesus starts with the basic assumption that we pray. He's assuming that Christ followers pray. Now that may sound very basic, but this is a key to us having an authentic life. He starts it out, when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He says when. He's assuming we are. It's much like when my wife says, hey, when you go to Walmart, because she knows I'm going to eventually go to Walmart. And if I'm not going to Walmart, now I'm going to Walmart, right? So when you go to Walmart, all right? It's not a if you ever do, it's when. Jesus is saying when you pray. He is expecting Christ followers to be in prayer. I had a buddy one time that said, when should I not call you because you'll be in prayer? And I went, what? He said, when should I not call you because you have a set aside time of prayer? And if I'm being honest, that stung, okay? When should I not be interrupting you because you are in a habit of prayer? We have a dinner time, don't we? We have a lunch time. Do we have a set aside prayer time? Look, I'm not here to guilt anybody into this. We want to deal a blow to hypocrisy. And the world has seen a lot of hypocritical Christians. We want to be authentic and we want to be real. I read a writer one time and he said, I've never seen a person with an active prayer life not have a specific time to pray. They set aside an allotted time to pray. Maybe it's a morning time, maybe it's an evening time, but an allotted block of time. I love this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. The self-sufficient do not pray. The self-satisfied will not pray. The self-righteous cannot pray. No man is greater than his prayer life. Now, again, this is preaching 101. You probably see that and don't have any trouble then. Why then is there ever a gap in our prayer life? Why would we struggle with this if we know we're supposed to? We know that God listens. Why would we struggle? I've been pondering that a lot the last couple of weeks. And one of the things I came up with was, I just wonder sometimes if our hesitation to have an active prayer life, lurking behind it is a little hesitation of fear. Fear that he won't answer us. hey, God, I know you could do something about this if you really wanted to, but, you know, I'm not a very good person, and I haven't been to church very regular. I go sometimes, and, you know, I've messed up. I don't deserve your help. You might be thinking, that sounds crazy, Don. There are a lot of believers that have been lied to by the enemy. Said he's not going to listen to you. Friends, fear is something, it has been infectious in our country and in our church. But you know what else is contagious? Courage. Courage to set up a time of prayer. Courage to have a prayer habit. Scripture is very clear that prayer is an important part of the walk of a Christ follower. But it also acknowledges that prayer is very difficult. I love that Scripture is very honest. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, he's starting out his letter to the Corinthian church, a church that has struggles, and he says, labor with me in prayer. Work with me. He's saying, this is not an easy habit. Work with me in prayer. Work with me, sweat with me, pray without ceasing. Isaiah chapter 62, this one on the screen. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of earth. God loves his children praying so much that he challenges them to pester him. I'm appointing people to do it. Don't stop asking. Don't stop begging. Bother me. Pester me. Give me no rest. When God's saying that, I'm not scared of you. I want to hear from you. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Like I said, we've talked about hypocrisy a lot lately. And in the Levitical world, typically they had three times of prayer, public prayer for the rabbis. And it was in our clock, it would be 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. That was the three prayers of the day. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. But if you learn more about the Levitical habits, the third one of the day, the 3 p.m. one, they frequently had the younger rabbis do that one. That was kind of the, you know, the rabbi in training. You know, you're the intern, all right? You get the afternoon prayer. We're going to take a nap. You go do afternoon prayers. And so these young ones would get up there, and they would frequently try to be elaborate with their prayers, as if to tell the bosses, hey, look, I'm paying attention in Hebrew school. I know this stuff. They would be long-winded, and they would be elaborate, and they would come up with all these big words, and as if that made a difference. I'm not judging them, but it does seem like the heart mentality, the heart motivation can be to be seen by men. And Jesus makes a very important teaching about prayer here. What is prayer? Well, maybe we can look at it as what isn't prayer? What is prayer not? Prayer is not positive thoughts. Look at it this way. We teach a lot of positive thoughts to our kids. You know, you can do anything you want to do. Well, guess what? A two-year-old is probably not going to be able to dunk on a 10-foot goal. Is that a fair statement? All right, you know, you're this little guy and everything. I believe I can dunk. I believe I can fly, all right? And you can believe all you want, but you're 2 foot tall, all right? You're not going to get there. Now, maybe when you're 5 or 6 feet tall and you've worked out and you've gotten stronger, maybe you can. But you see, too many times people look at prayer as, oh, it's just happy thoughts. No. Prayer is not a rabbit's foot. Prayer is not my lucky habit. Oh, I got to pray. I got to make sure it's all Jesused up, you know, and it's not that. It's not protecting me from bad stuff. And prayer is not self-help. Prayer is, God is not Dr. Phil, okay? He is not here to solve all of our mental health issues. He's saying, look, trust me. Prayer is, by definition, non-empirical trust. It is, I trust you, God, not because I've I see all of the evidence, but I trust you because I see your character. I trust you because I see who you are. Despite all the evidence I see, I trust you. Despite all of the things that I have heard and felt about culture, I trust that you are exactly who you say you are. We sang all about it this morning. There was another in the fire standing next to me. We're not alone in the fires that we are dealing with. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Do we see that that is a declaration of God's goodness? You turn graves into gardens. You make beauty from things that are piles of ashes. That's trust. That's where we need to be. So here's a question. How are you acting in your prayer life? Is it just going through the motions? Or do you really believe that prayer is a vital part of your walk? Now, full disclosure, you might be sitting there saying, but Don, what if my faith wavers? What if I have doubts? In Mark chapter 9, there is an incredible story of a dad that was accidentally profound. And I mean that very specifically. He was accidentally smart. He didn't realize how profound he really was. It's a story of a guy, a dad that has a son that's demon-possessed and throws him in the fire and cuts him all up. And he brings this demon-possessed boy to the disciples and says, can you do something about him? And they try to cast the demons out and they can't. And you think, well, they're young. They're learning how to be disciples, maybe. Well, it was deeper than that. It was deeper than, if you look back in Mark chapter 9, in 8, they had just gotten done with the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus had just empowered these guys. I give you the authority to cast out demons. I give you the authority to do these things in my name. And they couldn't do it. And so the dad brings this kid to Jesus and says, well, if you can do anything, that'd be really great. I'd really appreciate it. And Jesus' sarcasm sneaks out. He says, if I can do anything, everything is possible for those that believe. The dad's statement is one of the most brilliant statements in all of Scripture. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. You said, well, that sounds contradictory. No, he's saying, I get it. I see you. Sometimes I'm weak. Sometimes I wobble. Sometimes my faith isn't all there. Guess what, folks? We have doubting moments. It's okay. It's okay. Many of you have sat in a doctor's office waiting for test results and waiting and waiting, and you're anxious and you're worried and your brain starts running through all the things it could be. We've had couples that have prayed and prayed and still no baby. I've talked to numerous people that have prayed and prayed and the marriage still isn't getting any better. And there's still conflict at home. And the job is not getting any better. And that can create doubts. If you've been there, that's okay. In fact, the Bible even says, treat doubters with mercy. In the little book of Jude, in Jude verse 22, it says, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Can I be honest? Sometimes I show judgment to those that are faith is wavering. Like, come on, you should know better. Maybe I'm doing it to myself sometimes. Friends, doubt is seeded from Satan. Okay, he's the father of lies. That's how he started the whole thing with Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't say, hey, come here and let's be evil. No, he said, surely you're not going to die. He's not telling you the truth. It's not all there. He's trying to get us to doubt the character of God. Prayer is the declaration of, even if I don't see it, I know you're working. Friends, if you have doubts, it's okay. Don't entertain them. It's okay to have them. Don't let them hang out in your house. Don't make them a bed. Don't let them feel comfortable. when you are battling those doubts, you need to go back to what we just got done doing, singing the character of God. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He chases me down. He fights until I'm found. When you're having doubts about your character, when you're having doubts about your life, your doubts about your choices, doubts about your body image, you start singing the declaration of how great God is. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps them from knowing God. We capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We get those thoughts and we put them under the authority of Christ. We start declaring how good he is. Friends, if you're dealing with doubt, don't hang out with doubters. Don't get with other doubters and y'all have a doubt party. No, don't listen to the negatives. But at the same time, own your doubts to God. Say, I believe, help my unbelief. It's a great prayer. It's declaring that I'm still flawed and I'm still trying. Let me ask you this. Do you have questions for God? Spoiler alert, I do. I have a fairly long list. I've been keeping it. And when I get there, I mean, the first few days I'm going to sing, but I'm going to talk. All right. Okay, we're going to go get a cup of coffee and we're going to ask a lot of questions. Jesus, you got to explain me a few things, okay? But did Jesus save me before I had all my questions answered? Absolutely. In fact, he saved me and didn't give me answers to a lot of things. He didn't let me in on the secret handshake or anything, all right? You know, you're going to have to trust me. You see, he saves us prior to us figuring it all out. If you're having doubts, you're real. But own that reality to Jesus. He goes on in verse, I think six. He says, when you pray, go in private. Pray in private. Go to a private place. And I want you to get this so much. The litmus test for the vitality of your prayer life is what's happening in private. It's that simple. It's what is happening in private. If your faith is authentic, if your prayer life is genuine, it is rooted in what is going on between you and God alone. I'm afraid we miss this too much. This in the room was not the goal. The goal was to encourage each other to go be his follower and make his disciples. Real authentic belief, real authenticity starts with me and God alone. Power comes in the private. Let me ask you this. Anybody in here get prayer ADHD? That's what I call it. Dear God, how you doing? This is what I'm dealing with. And in about 2 seconds, my brain is going, oh, I forgot to do this at work. Oh, I got to go call this person. Anybody else do that? And we're just bouncing all over, ping-ponging all everywhere. Do you realize we're still communicating with God? And I think that's what he wants. He wants us to just talk to him. Now, the enemy doesn't need to change our mind. He needs to keep us distracted. For him to win, just get our eyes off of Jesus. So if your prayer life is bouncing around, please keep focusing. Keep trying. I don't know how to do this, Don. Stay at it. Jesus goes on, verse 7, and says, don't yakety-yak like the Gentiles. Now, I thought that verse was pretty self-explanatory. But when I started looking at it, actually, it's a little bit deeper. A lot of these Gentiles had multiple little g gods in their house. Okay, they'd have a wall or a shelf, and they have little wooden ones or whatever it was. And they would go through, their prayer time was praying to each one of those. And what frequently happened, historians say, is they would come up with a pretty much standard prayer for God, little G, A, and God B, and God C, and they would just say them over and over. You know, I say it to this one, and say it to this one, and say it to this one, thinking that the more I say it, the more it will be valuable. Is your prayer life simple? Do you get to the point? I'm afraid we need to examine our prayers, listen to our prayers. We need to lose the cliches. We need to get past the rote memory prayers, the things I learned when I was a kid. It says the Father knows what you need. He knows what you need before you even ask. Now, some people will say, well, that's a reason not to pray. I don't have to pray. He already knows what I need. No, the deeper relationship is he wants to hear from you. And I can assure you that God has never once sat on his throne and been shocked by anything I said to him. Wow, Don, I did not see that one coming. All right. Whew, that's a beaut. No, he's never once been shocked. But I think sometimes we're scared to. We're scared to say what is really on our hearts. Prayer is not to inform God. It's to unburden us. It's to put our concerns and our worries on his lap. God is calling us to a concrete faith. And I want us to be, and I think Jesus is saying, step in the direction of the things that you profess. If I profess that God is great, he turns graves into gardens, he chases me down, he fights till I'm found, then I need to establish habits that make that real. When Peter was on the boat, he didn't stand up on the edge of the boat and say, hey, Jesus, I'm about to jump, come catch me. No, he didn't. He waited, he entered the water when Jesus invited him to go further. You know what I think? I think he's doing the same thing to you and me today. Watching our kids at camp come around and pray with each other and lift each other up. Watching our young people, our teens, an opportunity to pray over our students and pray over other students. Talk to him. Now, in verse 9, he goes on to the Lord's Prayer. I personally like to call it the model prayer. I don't think it's the Lord's Prayer. I think that one's actually in John chapter 17. But many of us grew up with this right here, all right? We've done studies on this. I'm not going to belabor this point. I just want you to be reminded. And I don't want you to hear this. I don't want you to hear it from my heart. If you say this prayer every day, totally fine. That's great. Many of us grew up, many of us memorized this, and that's fine. If that's how you want to, I am absolutely not griping. I just like where it says, pray like this. I don't think he's saying pray these words exactly every time like a lucky rabbit's foot. I think he's saying pray in this manner. He gives the characteristics of prayer. He starts out very worshipful. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is not a Latin, it's not a Greek, it's not a Hebrew. It's actually Old English. I had to look it up. It's an Old English word. Guess what it means? Holy. It means he starts the prayer out by saying, you're bigger than me, and this is not about me. This is about how big you are, God, how great you are. Prayer is not about me. It is about honoring him and unburdening myself. He goes on to be submissive. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And can I be honest? I think a lot of us, when we say this prayer, we put the emphasis on the wrong word there, all right? We miss the word. We do exactly what I just did. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You know what I think the important word is? Your. It's not me. It's not us. It's him. And then it's repentant. Look at this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive. This version actually says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's an assumption that forgiveness is part of our life. It's an assumption that we are already doing it or have been in the habit of it. As we, Jesus expects us to forgive. Now, folks, we've talked a lot about hypocrites lately. And even Jesus starts this, don't pray like the hypocrites. Can hypocrisy affect our prayer life? I believe it can. Maybe we need to look in the mirror and ask, is my prayer life more like the Pharisee or more like the Gentile or more like that dad in Mark chapter 9? It's just honest and I believe, but sometimes I'm weak. Listen to a few questions. in dealing with hypocrisy in our prayer life? Do you show up every Sunday? Do you wave your hands in worship, but gripe because somebody sat in your seat? You see what I'm saying? Did we just negate everything that we did? We pray at every meal, but are we upset because of things like free lunches at schools and other political hot button issues? Do we go through the motions of prayer? Well, I got to do it at mealtime. I got to do it when we're about to go on a trip. Or do we really believe that prayer is a valid part of our walk? Friends, the world has seen those hypocrites. The world has seen the fake prayers. Let's show them something different. I want to show a video here in just a second, but let me set it up first. It's one of the On the Road with Steve Hartman's. I love those, CBS. They're fantastic. I love what he does with these. This one's about 10 years old, actually. And I've watched it several times now. I don't even think it mentions prayer in it, which is an odd one for me to choose to use for this day. But it's interesting in here because of what happens to a little boy in here. And when you're watching, I want you to watch how the little boy relates to what is happening in his life and how he behaves. Let's roll this if we can.
A few weeks ago, Steve Hartman introduced us to a young boy who found a $20 bill, converted it to a currency called kindness, and invested it with a stranger. Well, that investment has had quite a return. Here's Steve on the road.
9-year-old Miles Eckert may be America's most reluctant celebrity. It was never his intention to be honored at civic events or posed for pictures. But for the last month, this has been his world.
Thank you so much.
Things are not so normal right now. We're on the ride of our lives.
Tiffany is Miles' mom.
I mean, I've seen stuff go viral, but usually it's like a picture of a cat, not my son. It's the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
If you missed the story that started it all, Miles' adventure began here, at a Cracker Barrel in Maumee, Ohio. As the security camera shows, Miles and his family entered the restaurant on February 7th at 11:14. Miles was very excited. He just found a $20 bill in the parking lot.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Did you start thinking of what you could spend it on?
I kind of wanted to get a video game, but then I decided not to.
He changed his mind when he saw a guy in a military uniform enter the restaurant.
Because he was a soldier, and soldiers remind me of my dad.
And so, with his dad in mind, Miles wrapped the 20 in a note that read, "Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. Signed, Miles Eckert, a Gold Star Kid." Army Sergeant Andy Eckert was killed in Iraq just 5 weeks after Miles was born. All the kid has ever had are pictures and dog tags.
This is his wedding ring.
Other people's memories and his own imagination.
I imagined him as a really nice person and somebody that would be really fun.
The dad he imagines must also love a good story.
Yeah.
Because after lunch that day, Miles asked his mom to make one more stop.
Excellent.
He wanted to go see his dad. And he wanted to go by himself that day.
She took this picture from the car. Follow the footsteps and you'll see Miles standing there behind the flag, presumably telling his dad all about it. And whether heaven heard him or not, his good deed has made a huge impression here on earth.
You've read it more than once?
I look at it every day.
Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly of the Air National Guard is the one who got the note.
Kid gave you a bigger gift than $20.
A lifetime direction, for sure.
Lieutenant Colonel Daly paid it forward by giving away the money. And that 20 has been multiplying ever since.
It's exponential. It's extraordinary. It's amazing.
After our story aired, a lot of people wanted to give Miles his $20 back.
Right.
But instead of taking any money, the Eckerts directed those donations to Snowball Express, a charity that helps kids who've lost a parent to war. So far, donations total more than $250,000. Somebody would be very proud. Steve Hartman, on the road near Toledo, Ohio.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Didn't even talk about prayer. It talked about our response to what's happening in my world. We are looking for authentic Christ followers. And one of the biggest red flags of hypocrisy in our world are Christian prayers. How are we praying? It is a litmus test for the vitality of our prayer life, the vitality of our faith. What is happening in private determines how we are going to act in public. That's the authentic people that Jesus needs. That's what we need to be. Would you pray with me? Father God, open the eyes of our heart to how you are moving and how you are working. Open our spirits, open our attitudes, that we can see you, that we can surrender to you completely. And may we show your love to somebody else today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.